Today is the 8th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful, obviously, to be here with you today. You're here, right? And so it's wonderful to be here with you together as we gather to take the next step forward. So we took a couple of days to take steps through the book of the Song of Solomon and invited Jill, as is our tradition. And so we moved through the book of Song of Solomon over the last couple of days, which brings us in the Old Testament to some new territory. And so we're changing complexions completely again. Today we'll begin the prophetic book of Isaiah, which, at least in biblical literature, is classified among the major prophets of the Old Testament. And those include Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And it being called a major prophet, that doesn't have anything to do with, like, the importance of the voice of the prophet or whether or not they're more important mouthpieces of God. It has to do with the length and breadth of the material. And so Isaiah prophesied for a long time and has a lot of material that we will read through. It's 66 chapters, one of the longer books of the Bible. Isaiah's name means the Lord saves. And we will see Isaiah to be a very passionate prophet in the Old Testament. And his writings are referred to and quoted throughout the New Testament. Jesus himself quotes from Isaiah 8 times in the Gospels, and there are some very, very famous quotations from the book of Isaiah. Like when Jesus announced his ministry, he quoted from Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." So Jesus announced his ministry and his purpose by quoting that from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah lived in the second half of the 8th century BC. So many centuries before the arrival of Jesus. And it seems as if Isaiah was part of the, like, he was part of maybe the nobility or the upper class or the ruling class, because he had access to the royals. And it doesn't seem that it was because he was just the friend of a single king. He was able to deliver messages on behalf of the Lord to many kings over a long period of time. So he wasn't just some kind of crazy guy out in the desert that decided he was a prophet and came in and expected everybody to hear him. He actually had a voice. He prophesied during the reigns of 5 different kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Manasseh. And there is tradition, it's not explicit in the Bible, but there's Jewish and Christian tradition that Manasseh, the last king that Isaiah prophesied to, that Manasseh killed Isaiah, martyred him, had him sawed in half. And like I said, that isn't in the Bible. That depiction isn't in the Bible. Although the writer of Hebrews describes the persecution of old saints and says that some died by stoning and some were sawed in half and others were killed with the sword. So we know that, well, the prophets, they weren't really deeply respected as they were prophesying. It wasn't until later that they were well respected. Most of the prophets that we read are giving messages that are not specifically good news. They're messages that if the people don't change their way, that the trajectory is leading into a terrible downfall. And usually when people are feeling prosperous and happy and have all that they need, they don't want to hear a message like that. And that's usually where the prophets are. They're delivering a message to a people who think things are going really well when actually they're not going really well, because they're oppressing the poor and mistreating one another, and it's undermining their society, and there's a prophetic warning. But anyway, back to Isaiah. We'll find that the first half of the book has its own complexion, and then the second half has its own complexion. The first half is going to be pretty sobering. And then by the time we get to chapter 40, then amazing words of comfort and restoration and hope are brought forth. And as we read through these different oracles from different times of Isaiah, we'll see that there's this theme. The Lord is sovereign. His kingdom will be established. It will be established upon the earth. And therefore, his people must pay attention to the justice of their societies, how they are taking care of each other. And we'll see that becomes a big deal in what Isaiah is saying. Even though he has access to kings and may have been rich or had access to nobility or was part of the ruling class, his heart is for the downtrodden. And so with that, we begin our next adventure. The book of Isaiah, and today, chapters 1 and 2. These are the visions that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He saw these visions during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens. Pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner, and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. Oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil people, corrupt children who have rejected the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured and your heart is sick. You are battered from head to foot, covered with bruises, welts, and infected wounds, without any soothing ointments or bandages. Your country lies in ruins, and your towns are burned. Foreigners plunder your fields before your eyes and destroy everything they see. Beautiful Jerusalem stands abandoned, like a watchman's shelter in a vineyard, like a lean-to in a cucumber field after the harvest, like a helpless city under siege. If the Lord of Heaven's armies had not spared a few of us, we would have been wiped out like Sodom, destroyed like Gomorrah. Listen to the Lord, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I am sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath, and your special days for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. See how Jerusalem, once so faithful, has become a prostitute. Once the home of justice and righteousness, she is now filled with murderers. Once like pure silver, you have become like worthless slag. Once so pure, you are now like watered down wine. Your leaders are rebels, the companions of thieves. All of them love bribes and demand payoffs, but they refuse to defend the cause of orphans or fight for the rights of widows. Therefore, the Lord of heaven's armies, the mighty one of Israel, says, I will take revenge on my enemies and pay back my foes. I will raise my fist against you. I will melt you down and skim off your slag. I will remove all your impurities. Then I will give you good judges again and wise counselors like you used to have. Then Jerusalem will again be called the home of justice and the faithful city. Zion will be restored by justice. Those who repent will be revived by righteousness. But rebels and sinners will be completely destroyed, and those who desert the Lord will be consumed. You will be ashamed of your idol worship in groves of sacred oaks. You will blush because you worshipped in gardens dedicated to idols. You will be like a great tree with withered leaves, like a garden without water. The strongest among you will disappear like straw. Their evil deeds will be the spark that sets it on fire. They and their evil works will burn up together, and no one will be able to put out the fire. This is a vision that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord, for the Lord has rejected his people, the descendants of Jacob, because they have filled their land with practices from the east and with sorcerers, as the Philistines do. They have made alliances with pagans. Israel is full of silver and gold. There is no end to its treasures. Their land is full of war horses. There is no end to its chariots. Their land is full of idols. The people worship things they have made with their own hands. So now they will be humbled, and all will be brought low. Do not forgive them. Crawl into caves in the rocks. Hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Human pride will be brought down, and human arrogance will be humbled. Only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. For the Lord of heaven's armies has a day of reckoning. He will punish the proud and mighty and bring down everything that is exalted. He will cut down the tall cedars of Lebanon and all the mighty oaks of Bashan. He will level all the high mountains and all the lofty hills. He will break down every high tower and every fortified wall. He will destroy all the great trading ships and every magnificent vessel. Human pride will be humbled, and human arrogance will be brought down. only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. Idols will completely disappear. When the Lord rises to shake the earth, his enemies will crawl into holes in the ground. They will hide in caves in the rocks from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. On that day of judgment, they will abandon the gold and silver idols they made for themselves to worship. They will leave their gods to the rodents and bats, while they crawl away into caverns and hide among the jagged rocks and the cliffs. They will try to escape the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty as he rises to shake the earth. Don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. What good are they? Second Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I am timid in person and bold only when I write from far away. Well, I am begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. Look at the obvious facts. Those who say they belong to Christ must recognize that we belong to Christ as much as they do. I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. I'm not trying to frighten you by my letters. For some say Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person he is weak and his speeches are worthless. Those people should realize that our actions when we arrive in person will be as forceful as what we say in our letters from far away. Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant. We will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. We are not reaching beyond these boundaries when we claim authority over you, as if we had never visited you. For we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ. Nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places far beyond you, where no one else is working. Then there will be no question of our boasting about work done in someone else's territory. As the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. When people commend themselves, it doesn't count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend them. Psalm 52. For the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time Doeg the Edomite said to Saul, David is gone to see Ahimelech. Why do you boast about your crimes, great warrior? Don't you realize God's justice continues forever? All day long you plot destruction. Your tongue cuts like a sharp razor. You're an expert at telling lies. You love evil more than good and lies more than truth. You love to destroy others with your words, you liar. But God will strike you down once and for all. He will pull you from your home and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see it and be amazed. They will laugh and say, look what happens to mighty warriors who do not trust in God. They trust their wealth instead and grow more and more bold in their wickedness. But I am like an olive tree, thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love. I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I will trust in your good name, in the presence of your faithful people. Proverbs 22, 26, and 27. Don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from under you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this yet again new territory that we are moving into and we will be settling into for a while, the book of Isaiah. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us to the things that we need to hear and understand. Guide us in our steps as we continue to gather and to move forward together as your people upon this earth. We are grateful that you have placed us upon the earth at this time, that we can share this journey together all over the world. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Brady from Northern Virginia. I'm praying for the lady who recently lost her husband to pancreatic cancer. Oh, it touches me. My wife's dad is in hospice care at home, and he's got hours to live, and I am so very sorry for your loss. I am so touched and thankful that your husband found Jesus before it was too late. Father, thank you for your willingness to accept us, even all the way to the very end, Father. We will live a life of not accepting you, but you love us. I'm so thankful for that, Father. Thank you for loving us the only way that you can, which is perfect love. We are so far from perfect. Thank you, Jesus, for being so loving and gracious. In your precious name, amen.
Hi, family. This is Sally in North Dakota, one who loves to worship. Yes, I know I haven't called in for a very long time, probably since the Christmas recording, but I am here as your intercessor, praying behind the scenes. And speaking of intercessory prayer, Blind Tony, your poem on August 24th, there's a couple things that stood out. One of them was that said, love is superior to the obstacles of life. And I've been pondering that a lot. And also you said intercessory prayer knows no price. So I just also want to thank all the intercessories, prayers that are being said that are kind of behind the scene that nobody hears. But they are being said. Me being one of them. And I'm also calling to pray for Delta Alpha Foxtrot for your mom that is recovering. She has spiritual oppression stemming from her son's death. So, Father, I thank you for this mother who has lost a son. I thank you that you are the healer of broken hearts. And I pray, Lord God, that as she releases this oppression to you, that you would heal those broken pieces in her heart and allow her to come to you to be comforted and to know your love in a very special way. Father, I thank you. for hearing our prayers.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, be with us and bless all those that are close to us. Help us to be your light, witnessing for you as we care for and interact with everyone we meet day by day. Be with them, Father, today and every day as they face the world around us, and help them to see your care in everything around them. Father, we pray for the weak, those who suffer, the sick, the poor, the distressed, the lonely, the unloved, the persecuted, the unemployed, those who grieve. Be also with all those who care for them. Comfort and heal us, Father, those who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Give us a firm trust in your goodness. Lastly, Father, we pray for ourselves, that we may remain mindful of the needs of others, quick to respond to them in a generous and caring manner. Help us be close to you and enable us by your Holy Spirit to live in love for you and for one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible Family. I'm calling to pray for the mother who is heartbroken over her 18-year-old son who has rejected the gospel and says he is an atheist and does not believe in her God. And I pray that the Lord would work in his heart, the Holy Spirit would capture him, and I pray comfort and encouragement to you. Do not give up. When I was in eighth grade, I too told my parents I was an atheist and I believed in science and I did not believe in God. And it was only a few years later that I was captured by the Word that I had grown up with. And it resonated in my mind and heart because I had heard it. It was there. The Holy Spirit had worked a work in me, and he will in your son. I tell you that I went to Sunday school with them. I was captured by the Word of Job. It got my attention. And that was in May. And by October, when we got to Matthew, I committed my life to Christ. I do believe your son will come back to God and to you because he has been redeemed. And be comforted and encouraged and keep on praying. The Lord is now, after 40 years, more than ever, my rock and my redeemer, my strength and my song, my joy, my life, and my hope. And I pray that he will be your son's also as he is yours. In Jesus' name, amen.